Howdy, and welcome to episode 140 of Wanna Hockey, the Texas hockey podcast where we share the news, stories, and culture that surrounds Texas hockey from all perspectives. Before we dive into today's episode, please make sure to follow us along on all social media platforms, all at Wanna Hockey, and make sure to head over to wannahockey.com and follow all the stories and game recaps our writers are putting out for every Dallas Stars game. Trade targets and all-star breaks are on the agenda today. But before we do that, let's catch up. It's a little bit of a skeleton crew, Pat. It's just you and me today. You and me this week.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nope. We'll run it hot and tight. What's the week been like? We're kind of back on our somewhat regular schedule of weekly releases. Anything new to report on your end?
Played half a round of golf on Sunday. That was fun. It was just so muddy that we kind of tapped out in the second half.
Yeah, I've been there. I know what that's like. I played in Hot Springs, Arkansas, and it was mush the entire weekend that I played.
Like recently?
No, this was a couple of years back, probably about 5-6 years ago now, but it was just like every iron shot was like putting a hot knife through butter, where yeah. There was one shot where I legitimately swung the club, looked up to see if the ball flight was where I intended to hit it, and then I looked back down and saw where the divot had gone up and under the ball, and the ball just bounced up and right back on the divot. The grass didn't even come out of the divot. It was that soft where it just went whoop, didn't even move.
That will happen. But it was fun. One of our buddies was supposed to go, and he was not feeling well, so they gave me a rain check, or they gave me a refund in the form of a gift card for his round, because it's prepaid. And then I forgot that we had won our flight in a tournament back in November, and I just never drove up there to physically claim it. So they still had our $150 split between three people gift cards there, and then we got a rain check for the back nine just because it was so crappy out. Yep. So I have like $300 in gift cards to the same golf course in my wallet currently.
That's fantastic. That's like you never come out of a golf course with more money than you went into.
No.
This is your year.
Things are looking up. I bought a box of balls because I didn't think I had enough. Didn't even lose a full sleeve on the front.
That's a big move.
Yeah, I was pretty happy. I shot a 43, which for the first round in, 6 weeks, it's not bad.
And in those conditions, I mean, let's be realistic. That's like a friendly 39, I think, on a regular day.
Yeah. Indian Creek out in Carrollton.
Shout out to Indian Creek.
The great course.
Sponsor us. Or hold a tournament that we've been talking about doing for like a year now. One day.
That would be a fun place to do it.
One day. Our time will come.
What are you up to this week, Fink?
Oh, the same old same. We're in the bit of a lull now over at work. Not so much in the fact that things aren't happening, but the ECHL scheduling is a little wonky for the hometown Allen Americans, in that we have not had a game since the snow day on January, 15th, I believe, give or take. I think it was Monday, January 15th, MLK Day. We were on the road last week in Kansas City, and they are currently on the road in Idaho as we speak. We do not have a home game until February 7th. Then we have, I believe it's 4 home games, and then we go on another break where we don't have a game from February 17th to March 1st. So it's a very odd. We're like in an island of a schedule right now where it's very quiet at the barn. Not much moving around as far as hockey goes on the ops side and on the ice. But, you know, it's the front office getting to kind of see what the behind the scenes are like is entertaining because it's definitely busy. I do want to say we don't really jump out of the topic of hockey all too often unless it comes to music. And you, sir, I envy you. Because you were able to get in the pre-sale and nab tickets to Sleep Token. And if you guys are listening to this podcast, do me a favor, pause it for just a moment, go listen to The Summoning by Sleep Token, come back. You will not only be a changed person, but you will enjoy this podcast that much more knowing where our taste in music lies.
That whole album is the first one in a while that I was like really actively looking forward to, because they did like a drip release where they put out five or six songs from the front half.
Yeah.
And then there was six others on the back half, and the front half is fantastic. And somehow the back half is even better. After The Summoning, which is, I think, the most popular one.
Oh, by far, yeah.
Because of TikTok and other social media. But I think, in my opinion, Ascensionism is probably the best on the album. It's like three songs wrapped up into one. Yep. And the breakdowns on Take Me Back to Eden are also incredible. One more band recommendation for you. My cousin sent me this song called Battling My Demons.
Okay.
By Jairus Johnson and another artist called Boy What?
Boy What?
And the artist that does Boy What uses some combination of AI and filters to turn his singing into SpongeBob characters. So that song is like a metalcore-ish song, maybe a little bit heavier, featuring Plankton. And let me tell you, it works. I don't know how.
I'm gonna need you to send me the link to that after we get done recording, because that's right up my alley.
I've listened to it so many times since he sent it to me. I'm like, this. It has no business being as good as it is.
But here we are. 50 listens in. I want to say one admirable mention. And this is funny because I want to bring up a text I actually sent to one of my closest friends. Are you familiar with the band Finch?
If I heard one of their songs, I might know.
They were massively popular in the early 2000s. Their most popular song was What It Is to Burn. By far and above, they're absolute. Just you hear that, and if you've ever heard them as a band, you're like, oh yeah, I know this band. They've been touring overseas in like the UK and throughout Europe for the last like year and a half that they announced that they were coming back as a band, and they just now finally announced a North American tour where they aren't even the headliner, but they are opening up for, I don't know off the top of my head, but to me, it's like it doesn't even matter because they are the headliner in my mind, and it's the most excited. Now, you know, granted, Bayside, they're opening up for Bayside, but oh man, when Creed announced that they were going back on tour, listen, I was pumped. And Limp Bizkit this year is coming back to Dallas. Also thrilled for that. I haven't seen Limp Bizkit in person, and I'm ashamed of that. I have seen Scott Stapp live, met him. There's a story behind it I'll dive into at another time. But Finch was like the one where I knew that the moment they said that they were going to go on tour, I would have to see him. So I text my buddy, and this is where I'm just like, this has come full circle. Yeah. I said, hey, man, it's finally happened, because he was kind of the one that introduced me to the band. Finch is coming to North America. They're touring again, and they're not a European band. They're from North America. They were just wildly more popular overseas.
Right.
And he said, man, if this would have happened in our teenage years, and just like the scene from Step Brothers, I said, even better, it's happening in our 30s. So I am going to, I'm going to have to limber up for that one. I'm not a pit guy. Haven't really ever been a pit guy. It's at House of Blues, so I'll be tucked in the back with all the other senior citizens. But then I also look at it like,
and nothing wrong with that.
Majority of the people that are going to be at that concert are probably elder emos. And so we're all just going to be like kind of gingerly bouncing up and down, nodding our heads to the songs, but very, very excited for this. But yeah, we might have to go on a whole tangent on another episode, or do like a side episode on just music and movies and stuff, because we don't really dive too deep into pop culture. But I feel like all of us here on the podcast have very similar mindsets when it comes to that. And we could really go down a rabbit hole. But there is a lot to get into. Yeah, don't worry about that cut there. We had to tend to some personal matters. Everyone's okay. Happy to report. That being said, before we dive into everything that's going on in the world of hockey, because even though it is the NHL All-Star break for your Dallas Stars, there's plenty to talk about. But before we get to that, with flavors like strawberry kiwi and orange mango, Grizzly Energy will give you the spark to get through a skate, a workout, or just give you the boost to make it through the day. Grizzly Energy off. Oh boy. Butchered that one, but we're going to roll through. Grizzly Energy also offers multiple workout supplements to help you stay on track with your fitness goals on or off the ice. Now available at GNC. Grab your Grizzly Energy drinks at Murphy's USA and QT's as well here in DFW. Visit grizzlysupplements.com for more details, and make sure to use code WANAHOCKEY10 to get 10% off your order today. Again, that's grizzlysupplements.com. We kick off the news today with the Americans update presented by Nice Mitts, where you can also get 10% off your order using code WANAHOCKEY10 at nicemitts.com. That's NICEMITTS.com. The Americans are in the midst of, like we said, a long road trip where they currently have 3 points in 3 games out of 6 and find themselves 2 points inside the playoff bubble over Utah and Rapid City. The biggest news coming out of Allen is longtime American Spencer Asichuk was suspended from the team to reserve his ECHL rights with the Americans as he heads overseas to Romania to join, and I am going to do my best with this, Sixerda, and Ersta Liga. That was terrible.
It's probably Chixerada.
Yeah, I like that one better. Chixerada. Asichuk was, and technically still is, the longest tenured player on the team, playing in 11 consecutive seasons. To put that into kind of a perspective for people that aren't familiar with the ECHL, ECHL contracts are season to season. So 11 seasons, they brought him back and thought of him as a valuable asset to the team. So that feat is, regardless of the league, a huge, huge feat. Asichuk joins former guest and American Aiden Brown, as Brownie has spent the entirety of the season in Romania so far. So yeah, stick taps to Asichuk. That's a huge move for him, having played here in North America for almost the entirety of his career, and most of it here in Texas. So
get that money.
Yep, got to get that bag.
Speaking of friends playing in Europe, friend of the show and multiple time guest and excellent mustache haver Les Lancaster,
true,
and Ilves have mutually agreed to terminate his contract for the rest of the Liga season, as he is also heading to another team outside of the league. You'll remember Les set the single points record for a defenseman last season with 47 points, and said, this is a direct quote from Les himself, I am grateful for the opportunities that Ilves has given me during these 2.5 years. On a personal level, of course, this season has not been as successful as previous ones. Sometimes change is necessary, and luckily we reached a solution together between all parties. Always the consummate professional, Les is. Wish him the best in his next stop over on the European tour. And would like to see him back over here one day.
Yep. I mean, it's huge for him. I also want to give a huge shout out to all of the Ilves supporters. You know, we did that first interview with Les, and that episode instantly became the most listened to episode that we had ever had, and still, I think, ever have had.
I believe
when he joined Ilves. But those fans and those supporters over there are second to none when it comes to not just the hockey world, but the sports world in general. For all of them that have reached out and offered advice, you know, there's been multiple times that they've been asking us to come over and visit. It is an absolute destination for me. I know I've gotten on the cusp of being able to go, but been very fortunate to have the position I have now with the Allen Americans. And I want to be there. I want to visit Tampere. But yeah, huge shout out to all the fans and the Ilves faithful for kind of welcoming us as I guess their little Texas podcast that talks about their team over here. We'll definitely be keeping an eye on that team, and also may have told Les that we would start a GoFundMe to try to get him back to play here in Allen. I don't think it's gonna work. I did what I could. But yeah, huge move for them. The team is doing well. They're still on the top three, I believe, in Liga. But you know, the time had come where both parties just thought it would be better to go their separate ways, and hopefully both parties come out successful wherever Les lands. So that being said, there's a lot going on in the AHL, NHL world. It's not a secret that the Stars need help defensively. The Dallas Stars head into the All-Star break on a 3-game win streak with Thomas Harley scoring back-to-back OT game winners while down in Austin. Stan Coven and Maverick Bjork currently lead the entire AHL in scoring at 1 and 2 with 50 points and 47 respectively. So we say that to dive into the next topic as the trade deadline is looming. And let's be honest, the Stars need help defensively. So let's take a look, a couple options as to how things could shake down moving forward. Pat, I know you and I have some options, but before we dive into who we think could be the go-tos for the Dallas Stars, the Stars trade off smaller contracts, and this is all just hearsay. You trade off a contract like Sam Steele, Colin Miller, or Craig Miller, maybe even go as far as a Foxa move to move money around while possibly bringing up the aforementioned Bjork and Stankoven. The Stars are the third highest scoring team this season. So while it may feel counterintuitive to make an offensive move, it can't really hurt to bring someone up on a rookie contract to save, you know, maybe a couple $100,000. Stars make no moves going forward, and we suffer with the Hawk and Paul Suter on the blue line and pray that they can somehow pull together even some sort of postseason magic. That's your, I guess, second option. And then thirdly, going forth, these are just options that the Stars have and Jim Neal might have at his desk. Stars trade away someone like Maverick Bjork, draft picks, and more assets to acquire a right-handed defender to play opposite of Miro on the top line. So those are the three scenarios that kind of came to mind when we started kind of diving into this. So Pat, let's go off you and I as far as who we might think will, who the Stars might make a move for and what it would cost. So I know I've got someone in mind right off the bat, It may not be exactly who we need, but it's someone that I think that could absolutely put this team in the right direction. But I defer to you first. I am curious to hear who you have lined up as the guy, or maybe the top guy, that the Stars should go for moving forward.
So he's maybe not the top guy, but I think his cap hit is manageable. You don't have to move too much. He does shoot right-handed.
That's huge. We need that. We need that.
And he's not... I mean, one of the options that I have is kind of older-ish, but this guy is not. Sean Walker for the Flyers.
Oh, interesting.
He's got 17 points, which for a defenseman, you know, not... I mean, he has points, has 5 goals, 12 assists, plus 6, which is not bad.
Nope.
But his cap hit is only 2.6 million.
Interesting. That is not a name that I thought you were going to say.
He's only 29, so got some juice left in his legs. I don't believe he is unrestricted after this season, which may bump his price up a little bit. Give me just a moment while I'm looking this up.
No, I'm with you on that. While you look that up, I think we all at the end of the day know that Miro needs a right-handed defender on the other side, with him on the blue line.
Yes.
Now, I also think we all are in agreement that the top line of Miro Heiskanen and Thomas Harley is what we've been dreaming of for a little while, but it does make sense from a defensive strategy to have that right-handed defenseman to go along with your left-handed defenseman. So I say that to kind of give you a moment to collect your thoughts, if you will.
Yeah, he is unrestricted after this year, so not too bad. I mean, cap friendly has our deadline cap space available currently at 1.9 million projected.
Okay.
So move, I don't know how much Craig Smith or Sam Steele moves the needle, but you throw one of them combined with maybe a third and a fifth. Might not be too bad. Maybe a third next year and a fifth the following year. I think that could at least get talks started for somebody like Sean Walker.
I do want to call myself out on a mea culpa of sorts. Shout out to my buddies over at the Morning Skate. I definitely said Craig Miller, and I typed out Miller.
Oh, Craig Jr. Miller?
Because I was definitely still thinking of Colin Miller. Because no offense to Craig and Colin, but they are essentially interchangeable in that position of the bottom line guys. So minus one for me on that one. But I'm with you. I think a Sam Steele moves the needle more than old Craig. Not taking away from his game, but Steele has really shown sparks of being
something, man.
He's a very valuable fourth line guy.
Yeah. He's exactly the kind of like tenacious forechecking, just chaos causer.
Yep.
Without being out of control about it. Like, you need those guys that are going to kind of muck things up at times and grind the game down a little bit, just enough to get your more skilled players out there.
And that's like a Roddick Foxa to the T. And that's, I think, why that line of Foxa, Steele, and really whoever else, sometimes a Delandria type player, is so pivotal to the success of an NHL team, especially going deeper into a playoff run. All four lines have to offer something. Yep. And
not necessarily scoring.
Yeah.
Something.
Especially in those tight games where, you know, your top line has done a majority of the lifting. You know, in our instance, your second line is doing the same with Marchment, Sagan, and Duchesne. You need that third and fourth line to really grind the opposing team down, whether it be keeping it inside the offensive zone or pinning guys to the boards and really just wearing down the defensive core of the opposing team. And that's exactly what a Sam Steele does. That's exactly what a Craig Smith does and a Roddick Foxa does. So while those guys may not look flashy on paper because they are fourth line guys, they're pivotal to the success of an NHL team looking to kind of get over that hump and into the next round of the playoffs, whether that be the first or second round. So I like that pick. Now, the guy that I had in mind, I actually wrote out, and this is the only one that I wrote out pros and cons for, because he did seem so attractive from a trade standpoint, because as much as I do want another or a solid right-handed defender to be on that top line with Miro, how insane would it be to have not just a Miro Heiskanen, but then almost have, you know, like a 1-2 punch of left-handed defenseman, especially when I think I speak for everybody, and I said it, you know, just a few minutes ago, you have that liability of a Yanni Hakanpaa and a Ryan Suter. And I don't want to loop him in the same circle as those two guys, but even an Esa Lindell, who's been known to make a couple of boneheaded mistakes. So I look at a guy like Jacob Chychrun. His pros are he's a seasoned veteran in the NHL with almost 400 games played. You look at a guy like him who's never had the chance to be on a true contender, which could help elevate his game, putting him on a team like the Stars. He has a pass-first mentality with 20 assists on the season so far. He can quarterback the play from the point or carry the puck into the offensive zone, and he's contracted through next season.
And he seemingly wants out already.
Yes, yes. He is a guy that needs a change of scenery.
Yeah, that's something that you can't quantify, but that could be the difference between Ottawa saying we want a, you know, second and a third or a first and a second plus some money, plus some prospects, or we'll take a prospect and a couple draft picks and we'll retain some of his salary, because otherwise we're not going to get anything and we're going to have a player that doesn't want to be here in Dribble, because that can tank your locker room, which is even harder to come back from.
Yep.
And that's a rabbit hole I don't think you want to go down if you're the Ottawa ownership.
No, and Ottawa is really surprising to a lot of people. I think a lot of people, with the moves that they've made in the last couple off seasons, obviously having a guy like Brady Tkachuk on your franchise, kind of you assume that they're gonna do not a ton of damage, but they're at least gonna be in the hunt. And you know, a lot of it, and I will say I know this because the Americans are the affiliate of the Ottawa Senators in the ECHL. We feed into the Belleville Senators and then Belleville into Ottawa. The entire farm system from top to bottom has just been riddled with injuries that I don't think anyone was expecting. Even down here in Allen, you know, that we had an unprecedented start to the season. But I say that to say this, Ottawa knows, I think, that they need to make some moves. And I think they need to make them fast. And I don't think that they're going to sit back and wait. I'd be very, very surprised if they don't make quite a few moves. Maybe not to solidify themselves this season, but to solidify themselves into next season, you know, season after that, and so on and so forth.
If you can't win now, you got to try to win later.
Yep. So the cons of the Chychrun trade piece, so be it. He's expensive. He has got a $4.6 million cap hit. Like you said, we are projected to have roughly $1.9 million to play with or move around. It would garner at least a Foxa, Smith, Steele, like we said earlier, type guy, plus some probably including prospects, Bjork or Stankoving being very possible trade pieces, which I really don't want to see go.
I'm actually going to put, I see that floated kind of on various Stars websites and in the Athletic comments sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't see them even available as an option. And I'll tell you why. It's because you look at who some of the biggest contributors are. Joe Pavelski. But he's almost 40. How long realistically is he going to want to keep playing? Like, how? Right. I mean, he can keep doing year to years because he's not, doesn't seem to be slowing down, but you don't want to give up a 20-year-old that's dominating the AHL when you have to be forward facing a little bit in the decisions you make now, which I think Jim Nill always is, but
yeah.
With him, Jamie's not getting any younger. Dad's on a contract. He's, you know, in his 30s. You just never know what the next moves for those types of guys are. Not saying Jamie's going to retire and, you know, next year or anything, but you do want to look 2, 3, 4 years down the road. And if you have guys like that that are showing that they are damn near ready for the NHL, I think you have to do whatever you can to hold on to him.
I agree. I will say that if it, you know, push came to shove, and this is not a knock on Maverick Bjork whatsoever, I think he might be more NHL ready than Logan Stankoven's. This is Stankoven's first professional year. I personally think that there is a higher upside with Stankoven. I might be a little biased on that one, but that's just a personal take. I think the upside's higher with Stankoven. So if push came to shove and it did mean that we were able to get a guy like Chychrun, a guy of his stature, I would be very bummed out to see Bjork go. But, you know, let's face it too, he'd be going on the opposite side of the spectrum where we would really never have to play against him aside from a handful of games a season. You know, so in that regard, if I had to pick one, I would have to say Bjork. That might garner some ire from our listeners and people that have the opinions that they do. But I just see the upside with Stankoven.
I do too. And it's funny, if not for a certain current NHL hockey player named Connor Bedard, Stankoven would have been one of the hottest commodities from the junior leagues, because only one player had more points last season than he did down there, and that was Connor Bedard. So yep. I think he got overshadowed by a kid who's the real deal.
Yep.
And we are in a position where he's not as good as Connor Bedard, obviously. He may not be NHL ready or wasn't at the beginning of the season, but we do have the luxury of, we don't need you to come in and be a savior for our franchise. You can take your time and we'll let these contracts ride out and give us some wiggle room when Sagan's contract expires, Jamie's contract expires. Soon enough, Suter's contract expires. We'll have more money and we can, Jim Nill can work some money magic with Bridge and all the things that he's a wizard at doing. So that's a little tangent.
No, I like it. And I think you hit the nail on the head. I think one of the best things that could have happened to Stankoven was the fact that Bedard was in that same kind of class as him. Because it gave Stankoven the opportunity to really focus on his game, focus on his team, focus on his own life, not have to worry about the cameras, the lights, you know, the flashes, because they were all pointed at Bedard. And while Bedard, you know, let's be honest, could be the next great one, Stankoven is not far behind on the upside of what Bedard has. And no offense to Bedard, but Stankoven is also going to be put, like you said, in a much different position when he's eventually brought up to the NHL. He's not going to be expected to be that guy. And it's, you know, it's just a huge compliment to Jim Neal and the entire scouting department of the Stars, because another prime example is Roope Hintz. Roope Hintz was never looked at as a constant 25 to 30 goal scorer every season that we are now seeing kind of come to fruition. You know, he was a tall, lanky kid from Finland who was really fast and had potential, and the Stars sought through to take their time. I want to give a huge shout out to Gavin Spittle and the Spits and Suds podcast. Pat, I don't know if you listened to it, but he most recently had Rich Peverly with the Dallas Stars, who is now a scout for the Dallas Stars. Obviously had the infamous situation where he had the heart stop on the bench, but unfortunately derailed his career, ended his career there. But he is now a scout. So he spoke with Gavin Spittle, and he talked about, you look at the Dallas Stars and the way that they groom their talent. Guys like Jason Robertson, the aforementioned Roope Hintz, Jake Ottinger, just to name, you know, the three most notable ones, and now Thomas Harley even, all of those guys spent time in the AHL, and Stars fans like us clamored, banging on the walls, bring these guys up, bring them up. Jim Neal, all the scouts said, no, it's not the right time. We need to let them marinate. We need to let them grow. And then you look at that now, Jake Ottinger is going to his first All-Star game. Jason Robertson is an up-and-coming star, had a phenomenal breakout season last season. Roope Hintz has solidified himself as a cornerstone of this franchise. And then Thomas Harley has he's solidified himself as one of our top defenders over the last probably 6-7 weeks. You know, you look at his stats, he's leading the lead in OT goals. Like, that's just, in my opinion, unless you're like an Erik Karlsson, that's unheard of. You know, defensemen are not primed to score like that.
Overtime.
Yeah. So that's one of those things where you look at it and go, you know, as much as I want York, Stankoven, and not to say, and I don't say this in a negative light, but to a lesser degree, like a Blumel, you know, Matei Blumel has been marinating down with the Texas Stars, and he's third on the team in points. Like, these are young guys that when they come up, not only will they be able to make a difference, but they're not going to have that weight of an entire franchise on their shoulders. And they're also not going to cost a lot of money. So, you know, Bedard is going to continue to do his thing, but he's also on a team where the moment that he was selected, he was told, without being told, you are the guy that is going to have to carry this franchise, whether you like it or not, until you leave. And we hope you don't. But that's what we are bringing you on to this team to do. That's why you are here. You're not here to be a Trevor Zegras. You're not here to do Michigan's or lacrosse goals. If you do that, that's great. But you are here to put the entire Chicago Blackhawks franchise on your back to carry. Now, granted, he does have some of the biggest legs in the world, so he can probably carry that load. But as you can see now, he's already dealing with an injury. It's not really a hockey related where, you know, he can't skate, but you see kind of what weight that carries, and that the team was floundering before, but they're struggling mightily because he's gone. Obviously want him to get back. He's got that broken jaw, is out for another 5 weeks, but you know, it's a shame that happened, but all that being said, the Stars are in a very special place with the guys that they have at the NHL level and the AHL level, because those NHL guys like the Joe Pavelskis, as we've seen with Wyatt Johnson, can really take these younger guys under their wing and help them evolve quicker. Because even I don't even think I can probably sit you and I down 2 years ago when Johnston's just breaking into the league, and I don't think we're going to say to each other, oh yeah, he's going to solidify himself on one of these top lines for the Dallas Stars and be one of the top guys in the league in a couple of these situations and score the goals that he has, like that sick toe drag that might be the toe drag of the year in the NHL when it comes to goals. Like, we are not having that conversation on a lot of these other franchises. And I know we've kind of drifted away from draft targets, so we'll kind of go back to that. But it just kind of goes to show what goes on behind the scenes with the scouts and with Jim Neal, and really just the overall farm system that the Dallas Stars have. So, that being said, what other names do you have on your trade target list? I feel like we're both on the same page that they're pretty much going to be all defensemen. So I'm curious if your next selection matches one of the guys that I have pulled up on my end.
Another name that I had, and this one is a little bit trickier because of the money. Actually, both of them kind of are.
Okay.
But former teammate of one Matt Duchene.
Okay.
Tyson Barrie.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He's a right-handed defenseman. He has been in the league for a long time, but he's not, you know, Ryan Suter's age. He's 32.
Okay.
I think, like Duchene, he could probably do with coming into a winning culture, an organization that doesn't hang a banner for second place finish in the Central Division.
Correct.
And there's already that familiarity. I mentioned it earlier with Chychrun's rumored displeasure with Ottawa. I was reading an article while we were on here that he unequivocally denied that, but
as you do, as they always do.
Yeah. But I think there is something to be said with a level of comfortability as soon as you get in the building and your ability to contribute on the ice. Like, that's something that every player says about the Stars organization. It starts with Jim Neal. It's an open locker room. It's a family atmosphere. Everybody's treated with respect and cares for each other, and they don't tolerate the toxicity. I don't know if Nashville's toxic. I'd like to assume it is. Have to assume, but not saying they are, but you don't have players so openly speaking about what a solid organizational culture there is. And I think that would go a long way for somebody like that. Just a change of scenery, a chance to win now. Play your ass off. You're going to get top 4 minutes and take a run at the cup.
I mean, I do want to echo what you said about the franchise being just family oriented, just having been at the most recent home game, the last home game, or the last Stars game before the All-Star break. The Matt Duchene, Matt Duchene 1000th game celebration. Leading up to the game, we reposted this on our socials, but I was able to see it in person, which was just a really, really special to see them do. But they dressed Beau Duchene, Matt Duchene's son, full gear. He's just learning to skate, and they let him come out right as warmups were ending and skate in, score a goal. The place went nuts. But I can't sit here and say that other franchises wouldn't do that. But for them to be so willing to be able to let that happen, you know, for a guy like Matt Duchene that's in his first season with the franchise,
here for 6 months,
he's already seemingly solidified himself as a Dallas star. And like, if we can keep him around, I would absolutely love to. I think he's not only shown that he's still got a lot left in the tank, but he's also shown that he wants to be here and he's enjoying it. I think it just kind of, it speaks volumes for the franchise. Like you said, being a family oriented franchise. The next guy that I have on my list, this is honestly, in my personal opinion, I've got two Swedes lined up, and then I'll end it with the last guy that I have. But he's not a flashy guy. I know whenever these trade deadlines come around, I think every fan base is guilty of it. You want the big name. You want the big splash. You want the top guy. For this season, it was Elias Lindholm, which the Canucks were able to get. But for me, I think the most attractive piece is a guy named Philip Broberg. He is a Swedish guy with the Oilers. He is very, very young, only 22, out of Sweden. He is a 6'3", 198-pound. This is the only downside. Left-handed defender. His contract is only $863,000, and he is a restricted free agent at the end of 2024. So, you know, we were kind of talking about the Chychrun being that secondary left-handed defender. Broberg, in my opinion, outside of the older guy that I have, is probably, in my opinion, the top guy to go for. He makes the most sense money-wise. He makes the most sense age-wise. He makes the most sense control-wise. So for me, Broberg is a guy that if I'm the Stars, I am actively looking towards to make a move for. The Oilers are on a ridiculously unprecedented run of 16 games in a row. They've obviously found whatever was going wrong at the beginning of the season and turned it around. It's clicking now on all cylinders. If anything, they are only looking to add a little bit more offense. So Broberg, as it stands, I believe is down in the AHL with the Bakersfield Condors, where he's played in 24 games. He has one goal, 15 assists for 16 points in those 24 games. Not bad numbers. He had played 10 games with the Edmonton Oilers at the beginning of the season, only had in those 10 games, didn't have any points. He was a -2, but he is a guy I could see us putting a Ty Dellandrea, Sam Steele, Craig Smith, and sending him off to Ottawa in exchange for Broberg to get a little bit of a change of scenery. It doesn't sound like Broberg is going to be getting any time with the Oilers, or the Edmonton Oilers rather, anytime soon. And just having another young guy that could possibly get some minutes on that third defensive pairing, but having it as an option to move him up to that second line if he comes out and shows that he's, you know, got what it takes. I don't see why we don't stack with a couple more defenders when it comes to our team. It can't hurt. It obviously is where we need to focus our energy. I hate that we're having the discussion still about Ryan Suter and Yanni Hakanpaa. I've said it a million times before. I was very high on Hakanpaa when he came in here. He has not lived up to my expectations. I think I speak for everybody when I say Suter has not even gotten even close to any expectations that we had, not just for him, but any serviceable defender with over 1,000 games under his belt. Broberg is an attractive piece to me for the price. It's a low risk, high reward move. But again, it's not one of those names that if the Stars were to come out and say that they traded for him tomorrow, the Stars fans are not going to be going nuts, you know? So
not, it doesn't move the needle one way or the other.
It doesn't. It doesn't. And that's a shame, but
not every trade has to be flashy.
It doesn't. It doesn't. Do you have any other trade prospects that you've been keeping your eye on? Anyone else that the Wanna Hockey French Fries should keep an ear to the ground on that might be able to don the victory green here in the next couple weeks?
There is one that I'm seeing, not necessarily tied to the Stars, notoriously tight-lipped. And I don't know how feasible it is. I don't even really want to go there. That cap hit.
Dare to dream.
That is, I'm seeing quite a few swirling rumors, few articles that the Flames are looking to sell.
Yes, I think I see where you're going with this.
Yeah, it'd be tough at $4.5 million, and he's 34.
Yep. But
Chris Tanev, I mean, the guy's been
that's the one
for a long time.
He really has. But he was someone that I had pulled up, so I'm with you on that 100%.
The money gets tough with that one, but not every defenseman has to be an offensive defenseman, and he's certainly not. Most points in his career is 35, but you do need people that are not a defensive liability. You need a lockdown defender, and it's certainly not Hakanpää, especially with how much time he spends in the box. Essa's getting dragged down by him.
Yep.
Suter is good for one or two bonehead plays per game.
It's true.
Plus all the penalty minutes. So bring in some experience, a guy that really can be just kind of a blocker in a sense. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No, and
he's a big name too.
I like that you brought up the penalty minutes, because he seemingly has very low penalty minutes for a defenseman. The most he's ever had was in the 19-20 season, where he had 41 penalty minutes. But outside of that, he barely gets over 20. I think you need a disciplined guy like him. And he's also a leader. If you look back when he was with the Canucks and now with the Flames, he wore the A for both teams. And I think that speaks volumes. You know, you want a guy that's going to put himself on the line for the team. He's someone that is obviously a locker room first kind of guy. And yeah, it's someone that I think that the Stars absolutely should at least kick the tires on. But again, like you said, with a $4.5 million cap hit, his contract only lasting through the end of the season, where he is, I believe, a unrestricted free agent. That's a really, really expensive rental, especially for if the Flames are truly going to be rebuilding. They're going to be asking for a lot, and that's where the, hey, I want one of your top prospects and two or three of your picks comes into play. Yeah. I do not see Neil diving at that one, unless for some reason the Flames were like, hey, all we want is a couple of draft picks. We're really just trying to get some young guys to come into this place, and then we'll eat half of his salary. Maybe throw in another one of those, you know, smaller contracts to make the money right. You know, I would hate to see a Foxa go, but I really think his contract is the only one that makes sense to move to make everything work. So it would be like a Foxa, a first round next season, or first round this, maybe second round next. And Calgary eats half of the contract for Tanev, which would put him just around $2.5 million. I don't know Fox's contract off the top of my head, but I'm gonna sit here and I'm gonna say words until I can find it. Because I think I was gonna say I think it could make sense. Actually, Fox is 3.25. So even then, you look at Calgary and say, hey, we only need you to eat 1.5, you know, of Tanev's contract, and we'll give you Foxa with 3.25 and, you know, a first round this year, second round next year.
Yeah.
So Foxa, I love Foxa. Like we talked about earlier, that fourth line, the grind line, is a make or break for a Stanley Cup championship team. So I would, while I would hate to lose him, you know, if it does get us, imagine a Tanev Heiskanen top line. You know, Tanev is a right-handed defender. He fills that gap of a bigger guy at 6'2", 196. So, and not to mention, you know, having that leadership alongside Miro, because I think we all look at Miro as kind of becoming one of the leaders of this locker room once the Bens, the Sagans, and the Pavelskis, you know, ride off into the sunset after their careers are over. It's a very attractive get. So I will say the last guy that I have goes back on the younger side. He fills that right-handed defenseman role. He has been in the league for, I want to say, 5 seasons. Five seasons, give or take. That's Adam Boqvist for the Columbus Blue Jackets. He has a contract through 2024, 2025, $2.6 million cap hit, former number 8 overall draft pick in the first round by the Chicago Blackhawks. He is pretty much the offensive defenseman you have with Miro, maybe not as talented on the defensive end, but he does put up points as far as a defenseman goes, with a career high of 24 points in the 22-23 season with 5 goals and 19 assists. He is definitely more of the pass first type, or maybe the shoot on net deflection type, which we have shown this team is very good at.
Best place to do it.
Yeah, thanks to Pavelski being on this team, it's started to rub off on guys like, you know, Sagan. Ben's kind of been that guy, but even more so with Pavelski around. I think Pavelski kind of teaching him a little bit of secrets here and there. But Adam Boqvist he's a guy that I could legitimately see the Stars making a run after. I don't know if he necessarily has a no move or no trade clause. I don't believe he does. But yeah, Boqvist to me and Broberg are two guys. And not to mention, Boqvist is only 23 years old. Those two guys for the age, obviously Boqvist is more talented, having been in the NHL for 5-ish years. I look at him and Broberg as the most probable pieces, but I think you and I can both agree that Tanev is the best fit. Now, again, you know, we need that right-handed defender. Boqvist fills that gap as well. But as we're having this conversation before we wrap things up, I do want to say that while it would be great if, you know, one of these guys came over to Dallas and kind of filled that hole, as we sit here and talk about it, we kind of have that guy, but he just has to prove himself. Because Nils Lundqvist is a right-handed defender.
Yep.
He is only 23 years old. He does have the smaller contract because we still have the contract that he had when he came over from the New York Rangers. We did give a first and second round pick away to the Rangers to get him. And he's having a decent season so far. He's got 14 points in 39 games played, 2 goals and 12 assists. He's a +6, averaging about 15 and a half minutes per game, which is about where his career's at. But I look at the Stars and what we have and what we have to offer other teams. It doesn't hurt to get another defender, but
that's what makes like a Boqvist or a Broberg probably more realistic than a Tanev or a Chychrun. Man, it's crazy. With all of the coverage about Nils and how much he needs to, how he doesn't have the coach's trust and he has to grow up, essentially, it's kind of wild that he could be the cog that gets the gears really spinning, given where he's been for the past 6 months.
Yeah.
If he can continue to make Suter serviceable and be serviceable himself. Harley and Miro is the most efficient pairing of defensemen in the entire league statistically.
Yep.
It's pretty close. They are far and away the most efficient when they're on the ice together out of.
And that's you want that to continue. So I'm very curious what the coaching staff does, because you do want that, right? I mean, this team, the Stars, are stacked with left-handed defensemen. The only right-handed defensemen we have are Nils Lundqvist and Jani Hakanpää. Hanley, Harley, Heiskanen, and Lindell, Suter are all left-handed defenders.
Yeah.
So we definitely need that additional right-handed defenseman. That's not, to me, doesn't take away from Nils Lundqvist. I think it gives him a little bit more leeway, if anything. Maybe it puts more pressure on Jani Hakanpää. But, you know, I hate to say it. I love the guy. He is the only active star that we've had on the podcast. But that makes Joel Hanley the odd man out. And Joel Hanley is a great guy to have on your team, because he is going to go out there and give you 150% anytime he's on the ice for those times that
he's a pro. Know,
yeah, he's every, a consummate every fifth pro. Game. Or, you know, like when Heiskanen was hurt for those 10 games.
Yeah.
He was essentially a reason. Now, you can probably put a lot of that on Wedgie, but he was a reason that we were able to come out with a winning record from those 10 games without Miro. So it's always an interesting time. Lindholm officially traded to the Canucks. Is that going to be the first domino? Do we see a lot more moves tomorrow? Do we hear more rumors tonight? Do we wake up to those on Twitter tomorrow morning? Hopefully, because it makes things a lot more exciting. But yeah, I think we are realistically a right-handed defender away from making another very deep run in the playoffs. You know, we could sit here and talk about, is Ottinger going to get any better? What's going on with his mentality? But I think, you know, if we can keep both of him and Wedgewood healthy, you know, that puts us in a very good position to make a good run, keep ourselves in the top three in our division, make the playoffs, clinch a little bit early, and hopefully get stacked going into the playoffs. So let us know what you think. If you're listening, you know, listen to the podcast and throw it in the comments who you think that we'll make a move for, or if we don't make a move at all, because that's also a very possible outcome, as Jim Neal
likes where the team is at.
So Pat, good go at it. If you want to start rounding us off, we'll call this one an episode, and hopefully next time we talk next week, we'll maybe have a new defender on the team.
Yeah, I I don't remember what Durr's sign off was.
Oh, dang it. He's still new. This is his penance for not being able to make it this week, though.
Fair. Make good choices.
Oh, wait. Was it, I'll see you now or something, or I'll see you on the next one or something like that?
Something similar. We didn't see you now. We'll see you next time.
Yeah, that sounds close enough.
Something like that. It's from I Love You, Man.
That's right. Well, I'll just say laters on the menche.
Yep. From my side, make good choices.
Got
stay
it.
Stay moist.
Bam.
I think most importantly, stay sassy.
And don't for any reason, even if the ramen strikes you in the middle of an episode, forget your Kermit tattoos.